So we're getting a brand new series called In His Presence. February, we think about, you know, marriage and love and affection and showing that to our mate, our husband, our wife, and exchanging gifts and love and candy with no calories, amen, and flowers and nice things, amen. So we're focusing on falling in love with God in the month of February. We're focusing on intimacy, going deeper in our relationship with the Lord. You know, if you'll follow me for the next 28 minutes, I believe I can help you today. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't stand before you if I was thinking I was wasting your time or I had nothing to say. If you're a messenger, you better have a message. If you're a messenger, you better have a message. And I believe I have a message this whole month about getting in His presence. Because the big idea is when we get in His presence gets in us. Let me break that down for you. When we get in His presence gets in our marriage. It works. When we get in His presence gets in our parenting. We know how to raise our kids for God. When we get in His presence filters into our career, our business, our enterprise, our team building, our ventures, our choices, our decisions, our relationships. That's what I mean, that when we get in His presence gets in us. I know it sounds theologically incorrect because I know the greater one's on the inside of us already. But I'm talking about getting Him to manifest, change our behavior, conduct, conversation, and language, respect and honor in how we treat one another as husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, children, peers, workers, co-workers, employees, employers. That's what we're talking about this whole month. So if you'll pray for me, I'm praying for you, that by the end of this month, we're going to be deeper in our walk with the Lord. We're going to have greater intimacy with the Lord. Because I believe that getting into God's presence decreases stress, anxiety, worry, fear, depression. I believe getting into His presence, that's the key. That's the decreaser. You'll have less stress in your life, less anxiety, less worry, less fear in your life by getting in His presence. And I want that for you. Yesterday, I'm talking to someone after the men's breakfast, actually before the men's breakfast. And I'm talking to this individual, and he's telling me how he's going through a divorce and how it's the worst season of his life. And how he's never gone through anything like that before in his entire life. And he said, Pastor, I'm struggling. And I want you to know that whatever season you're in today, if you're struggling with your faith, if you're struggling with your health, your marriage, your parenting, your children, your job, your career, your team, I can help you through that struggle today. Because getting in God's presence, that's where you're going to find the answer for your struggle. That's where you're going to find the answer. It's not AI, it's God, going to God for the answer. Amen. And we're not downplaying AI. We use it as a servant, not a master. Amen. Even though they say it's going to take 40% away from all your jobs in 5 years if you don't know how to master it. So we're going to get right into it today. I want to help you with your struggle. I want to help you with your problem. I want to help you with your challenge. I want to help you what you're going through today. So if you'll stay with me, and I believe you will, amen, let's get right into it. So I went to my Bible dictionary. I looked up the word presence, just presence. And we're talking about God's presence. Because God's presence separates you from the world. You do know that, right? God's presence is what separated Israel from all other nations in the Old Testament. It was the presence of God that was the distinguishing factor with them among every other tribe on the planet. Push that forward to the New Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant to today. If you're born again believer, and a little commercial, if you're born again and you haven't been baptized in water, let me baptize you in water. I don't do it very often, but I'm going to do it in the next service. Stick around and go through that with me. Let me baptize you in water. That's the next step after the new birth. Amen. But it's very, 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 very important that we understand that we're talking about the presence of God. That's what sets you different from an average employee, employer, business owner, husband, wife, mom, dad. It's the presence of God that sets you apart, not the color of your skin, not your IQ, not your EQ, not your network, not your net worth, not your education. You and I both know, they say, don't go to college today because you won't be able to pay it off. And people without college are getting the jobs. So it's not your education that sets you apart. It's not your IQ, your EQ. It's not your network, your net worth. It's the presence of God on your life that separates you from the rest of the world. So notice the definition in my Bible dictionary was before the face. What does that mean? Face-to-face relationship with God. Face-to-face. And family, you know it and I know it. The American Christian is way too busy. Too busy for church, too busy for quiet time, too busy for reading the one-year Bible, too busy for getting involved in the local church. American Christians are too busy for God. They want everything microwaved. They want it quickly. They don't even want to take time to get in the presence of God. And if they do, they leave too quick. Did you hear what I said? Most Christians leave too quick. If they'd linger a little longer, they would get the breakthrough they needed. So the presence of God face to face. And look at this. Bible dictionary definition of presence of God. It's the place of blessing. That's where I want to be. I don't want to be in the place of cursing. I want to be in the place of blessing. Because when I get in the place of blessing, I'm blessed to be a blessing to my family, to my friends, to my coworkers, to my neighbors. Come on, somebody. So I want to be in the presence of God because that's where the blessings flow. That's where the breakthroughs are. That's where the change and the transformation happens in a marriage so you don't end up in a divorce. Amen. Everyone say the presence of God. That's where, oh, that's not good enough. That's where the blessing flows. You know, I grew up in the church, and the church I grew up in, every time the preacher got done preaching, they opened the altar. Any of you old religious people remember that? They opened the altar after every service, and the altar was packed. The altar was packed after the pastor got done preaching. I grew up in the Assemblies of God. Kim grew up in a Baptist church. And after every service, when the preacher got done, it was just part of the routine. When he got done preaching, he called everybody forward, and we had what we called altar benches. Anybody remember that? Altar benches, like you don't even know what that was. And you would linger seriously for 10, 15, 20, 25 minutes after the sermon was over in the front in the presence of God, because the anointing is greater here than in the back. You realize that, right? Yeah. And to tap into what's up here, you got to know how to tap into it in the back. Oh, it's true. So the presence of God is where the blessing flows, and you want to be in the blessing. So look at Matthew 11. I can help you with your struggle today. Follow me. Come unto me, Jesus said. Everyone say, come. So come unto me. Notice that's an open invitation to black people, white people, brown people, red people, smart people, dumb people, educated, non-educated, rich, poor, fat, skinny, tall, short. That's for anybody. Aren't you glad, Church of the Rock, we welcome anybody? When we live in a very racist community, but what sets us apart is we welcome anybody at Church on the Rock. Did you know that we have Spanish translation in every service? Did you know that? In every service, we offer Spanish translation. Whether you like it or not, that's your future. Whether you like it or not, that's your future. And Church on the Rock, we're set apart because we'd say, whoever, come. You are welcome at Church on the Rock. Come unto me, all ye that labor, are struggling, and heavy laden. And he said, I will give you what? Rest. So an attribute of intimacy is tranquility. An attribute or a fruit or a result of intimacy with God face to face is tranquility, or can I say rest? I have a whole series I taught on here down through the years. If you don't have God's rest, you will never have God's best. If you don't have God's rest, you will never have God's best. And notice, where does rest come from? Not drugs, alcohol, sex, salary, status. It comes from coming into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you come unto me, everybody that's struggling with your career, your business, your employees, your health, your finances, your children, your parenting, your mate, come unto me and I will help you in your struggle. I will give you rest. I love that. Verse 29, take. So notice, say it with me, come and now take. We come to him with our struggles. We come to him with our pain. We come to him with our misunderstanding. We come to him with our questions. We come to him with our hurt. We realize finally that he's really the only one that can really help us. He's really the only one that can give us real, lasting rest. Wow. We find out that it's in his presence that real rest comes. So he said, come, an open invitation. And here's what I know. God shows up where he's welcome. God shows up where he's welcome. He's not welcome in every church. He's not welcome in every home. He's not welcome in every life. Most people put him off until they absolutely have to have him. But he shows up where he's wanted, and he shows up where a church is hungry for more of God and a move of God. So we come, and then we take. Take my yoke upon you. Now remember, Jesus was a carpenter. Now this is not Bible, but in my commentaries, it said, history says that Jesus in the carpenter shop was noted as a master craftsman. That he was a master craftsman in making yokes for oxen, yokes for animals. And it was known. Now, this is history. This is legend. It's not Bible. But commentary said that he was known in the community for being a master carpenter and for making the best yokes in the community. So he knew all about yoke. What does the yoke represent for you and me? Discipleship, followership, obedience, surrender, laying our life down. So first we come to him and we get born again. But then Jesus believes in expansion and increase. He said, don't settle for just being saved. Don't settle for just going to church once a month. Don't settle for just enough. I want you to expand and increase and go deeper. I want you to take the yoke and follow me and behold me. And who we behold, we become like. Who we behold, we become like. Who we behold, we become like. So the more you have a quiet time with God and you're beholding God and Jesus, the more you become like Jesus. Am I helping anybody today? So the yoke is discipleship. It's going through the God is for you classes. It's going through our small groups. It's going through our training online. Do you know we have training online on our website? We have discipleship. We have classes. We're getting ready to start Alpha. We have all these resources. So it's not enough. If you want that God to help you with your struggle, you got to do more than get saved and show up once a month. You got to take on the yoke. You got to take the yoke. You got to become a disciple. So take the yoke upon you. And then thirdly, learn. Come, take, learn. We had yesterday morning, it was awesome, wasn't it, guys, at our men's breakfast? I guess three of you were there. The rest of you, where are the rest of you guys at? And so we had Benji Molina, that's Yachty's brother, a World Series champion. We had him come yesterday morning and speak to our men on leadership and what a real man is, what a real man is. And so before we went down to the men, him and I were together for about 45 minutes, and I was picking his brain, and I was taking notes on how to be a champion, because he's a Golden Glove Award, World Series Award, been there, done that, Benji Molina, Yachty's. But we had him at our church for our men yesterday. Only bring in the best. So I asked him, I said, Benji, tell me a characteristic of the best that you've played with. Tell me a characteristic of the very best that you've played with in your career. He said, well, Pastor, it wasn't the loudest in the clubhouse. It wasn't the most flamboyant with the greatest personality. He said, Pastor, that would take them to the top, but they couldn't sustain it over years. He said, Pastor, the greats that I played with, that I went to World Series with, the greats that I played with, Pastor, they were always seemingly quiet, listening, learning, and humble. I said, what? He said, Pastor, they were the ones that were quiet, listening, learning, humble. I said to him, you know, Benji, I've had staff down through the years. Now, not now, but down through the years. And they would come to me and they would say, Pastor, what's the key to success? And I'd say, humility. I said, Benji, they'd laugh at me. My own staff would laugh at me and say, Pastor, I don't believe that. Humility, being humble. And here we have a World Series champion saying, Pastor, that's the key, being a lifelong learner. So how do I deal with my struggles as a Christian? Well, first I come to him, I get born again, but I'm still going to have those struggles. I'm still going to deal with life. So what do I have to do? Next step, take the yoke. That's discipleship. Take the yoke. And then what am I going to do? I'm going to become a follower and I'm going to become a lifelong learner. Now, what's the result of doing this? Rest. I get rid of my restlessness. I get rid of the agitation, the irritation, the getting upset, up and down. Because intimacy not only gives tranquility, but it gives stability. It gives stability. Take the yoke upon you and learn of me. Look what Jesus said. I'm meek. I'm lowly, I'm humble. And what will you find? Rest for all your physical, mental, financial, family struggles. That's the key. The greatest thing I can do for you as your pastor is show you how to get in the presence of God. And that's why we encourage you to be on time and be in church from the very beginning and enter in and raise your hands and clap and shout and sing and take notes. Because in doing that, you're preparing your heart and getting rid of all the things that block you from hearing him from what you've gone through all week long. So notice he said, if you do this, if you come and you take, and you keep learning, you will find rest for all your struggles. I used to do all the counseling in this church. I got my associate's art degree in college for psychology, just enough to be dangerous, you know? And I found out down through the years, I don't do any counseling anymore, but I found out through the years, everybody wants a hack. They want a shortcut. They want it simple. They want it quick. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. A marriage has to be built. A life has to be built. A business has to be built. A career has to be built. A calling has to be built. And it takes time. And it takes time. Here's what I find out. I remember one couple, and they're not here anymore. The wife moved to Branson. The husband graduated, and he's passed away is what I've heard. But this was in the North Campus. And they were having family problems, marital problems, on the edge of divorce. And they came in to see me over there in my office over there in the gym. And I'll never forget that when they came in, he sat on the end of this couch and she sat on the other end of the couch. Isn't it amazing when we're dating, we sit on top of each other? You know, I can remember when Kim and I were dating, I had a Boss Mustang 1970, Boss 302, orange black stripes, spoilers, bad to the bone car, bucket seats. But I put a pillow. It didn't have a console. It was 4-speed Hurst, 411 gears. But I didn't have a console, so I put a pillow in the middle of the bucket seats so she could sit near to me. Yeah? Isn't it amazing when we're dating, we sit on top of each other, but after being married, we're leaning against the doors of the car and the truck. Something's wrong with that picture. So they came in to see me, and they're a wonderful couple, and they were part of our dream team. They were involved in the church, but they were struggling marital. They'd been married for years. They came in to see me, and he sat at this end, and she sat at that end. And you know the spiel. It's his problem. It's her problem. She's the problem. He's the problem. If only he, if only she. So I'm just listening. Because a real counselor doesn't tell you what to do. Hallelujah. A real counselor doesn't tell you what to do. A real counselor helps you self-discover what you should do. But here's what I know. If it's your idea, you'll do it quicker than it's my idea. You owe me on the way out a caramel macchiato maybe. Did you hear what I said? A real good counselor doesn't tell you what to do. They help you self-discover, and you think it's your own idea, and you're quicker to do it. That's a good counselor. So I'm listening to them, and they're telling me all their problems and how they fell out of love and this, that, and the other. And so I listened for a while, and here's what I told them. I said, you know what, guys? I don't have the answer, but he does. I said, I hear your struggles, and I hear you blaming each other, and you're different now, and you don't understand each other, and you haven't had sex for 3 years, and you don't communicate, and you fuss and fight over finances. I don't have the answer for you, but I know the one who does. And so I said, guys, if you'll get just in his presence, wow, I think he can work it out. If you'll just get in his presence, I didn't tell them, but they'll both change. And they said, really, Pastor? I said, yeah, I don't know how to help you, but I know the one who can, so I'm going to point you to him and get in his presence, and I think he's going to begin to reveal it to you both. And so I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. Now, when I counsel people, I give them homework, and if they don't do it, I'm not seeing them the next time until they bring it back. Some people just want your time and not your wisdom. So when I counsel people, I always give them homework to do. And if they don't think enough or respect me enough to do my wisdom, I ain't got no time for you. Okay? So I said, you guys go home. And I said, I want you to start reading the Bible together. And then I said, I just want you to pray. Now, I know you're mad at each other. You can't stand each other. But I found that when you start praying for people, you start liking them. That's good. That's good. Boy, you guys owe me 2 caramel macchiatos. When you start praying for people, you start liking them. Mm-hmm. That's why he said, pray for your enemies. Well, I'm not getting very far in this service. Praise the Lord. I feel like we're in a big counseling service than the fireplace. I said, now, I know, but just a quick prayer, I told him. I said, just a quick prayer, just 2 or 3 minutes. But I said, if you'll start reading the Bible together and you'll start praying together, let's see what God can do once you get in his presence. And so what, you know what? I said, I'm going to give you a month. I said, come back in a month. I said, but I'm not seeing you unless you do it. Okay, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. So we prayed. They left. They set up an appointment 4 weeks later. They came in this time. If I'm lying, I'm frying. Hands on the Bible. They sit on top of each other, Marilyn. I mean, I almost couldn't get them off each other. The couch was almost tilting like that. I said, what happened to you guys? Well, Pastor, you know. What happened? In his presence. Your struggles. So I got to hustle. So they'll find rest in your souls. Am I helping anybody? For my yoke is easy. What does that mean, easy? It means it fits you. It fits you. Now, if you're sleeping through this, you got a problem. If this isn't ministering to you, I'm just going to be honest with you, you got a big problem. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And every time I preach, you will be responsible for what I teach. You do know that, right? To whom much is given, much is required. You can sleep, you can scan, you can roam your device, but you're hearing the word go forth, and you and I will stand before God, and we will have to make account for what we've heard. Yeah. Wow. So Matthew 11, 28, 30, this is all the farther we're going to get. But look at this. Are you tired of going to church? Then come to me. When you got a relationship with God, you want to go to church. When you don't want to go to church. You don't want to be bound Christian because you're convicted. He said, are you tired Are you worn out? Are you taking drugs? Are you smoking marijuana just to get a little happy and high? Something's wrong. Are you burnt out with religion and church and Christian? Something's wrong. You're looking at the wrong thing. Are you tired? Are you burnt out? Look at the scripture, everybody. Then come to me. That's the answer. That's the answer for your identity, your struggle, your racism, your bigotry, your incest, your rape, your drugs, your alcohol, your addictions, your pornography. That's the answer. Come to him. It's an open invitation. It's an open invitation. But if you walk out and flip him off, then you'll get mad at God if you die and go to hell. Ooh, boy, the cold weather is just, you know, maybe it was that caramel macchiato, that caffeine. That's the problem. No, I think God's wanting us to get serious. Yeah, serious. You know, I asked Benji Molina yesterday, Yachty's brother. I asked Benji. He's on my podcast. I hope you follow me on my podcast, Leadership Lifter. And I asked him, I said, there on the podcast, I said, tell me more about being great. You know what he said? You got to get serious, Pastor. You got to get really serious. He said, Pastor, when I was playing the game, I got up at 4 a.m. to practice, to work on my craft. Got to get serious, Pastor, or you'll never be successful in life. I said, yes, sir, Benji, I got that. So are you tired? Are you burnt out? Then he says, come to me. And that's what I'm doing to y'all family here and online. Go to him today. I don't have the answers, but he does. And what you're struggling with over and over and over again, he can help you if you get in his presence. He said, come to me as the team comes out. Get away with me. So it takes isolation to get in his presence. It takes isolation to get in his presence. You got to get in your closet and close the door, right? You got to get in your closet and close the door, that prayer place. So he said, get alone with me. It takes isolation. Get away with me and you will recover your life. You'll get through this struggle. You'll get through this season. You'll get through this pain. You'll get through this hurt. You'll get through this misunderstanding, this divorce, this rape, that incest, that layoff, that fire, that let go. You'll make it through. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how. While in his presence, revelation comes. In his presence, he helps us figure it out. Am I helping anybody today? I sure do love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be here teaching you today. I sure do love you. And I'll show you how to take a real rest that cocaine, marijuana, alcohol, pornography, sex, addiction, status, money can never give you. I'll show you how to get a real rest, but you're going to have to walk with me. Come and walk with me. And then you're going to have to work it out with me. You're going to have to come and take, come and walk. Come and walk and work with me. I've got to cooperate. I've got to cooperate. You see, I can't claim a scripture until I obey the scripture. I'm going to have to quit because I got water baptism here in just a few minutes. 80 people. So he said, I'll show you to have a real rest as the team comes out. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Wow, learn of him. Learn from him. Read the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the Gospels, the life of Christ. I used to teach the life of Christ in the North Campus in our Bible school. We used to have a Bible school. I taught in it. I taught a course called the life of Christ. Study the life of Christ. Learn from him. Look at this. And learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything too heavy on you. Keep company with me. Whoa. Get in his presence. And you'll learn how to live free. Free from addictions, depression, panic, regret, the past. Free. You'll learn how to live free from anxiety and worry. You'll know how to deal with it and lightly. Boy, what an invitation. Everyone say invitation. He's giving us all an invitation. Amen, church. Everybody here and all over out there. Now, folks, when I teach, you understand, it's not just to our little group here with four services on a weekend now. We do have Saturday night now, by the way. We have four services on the weekend. But do you know last week we had 23,000 replays of our Sunday morning service? 23,000. So you understand that when I'm talking to you, I have a much bigger audience than Church on the Rock. You understand that, right? So he's giving us an invitation, and he loves you. He died for you. He rose again. He's at the right hand of the Father, and you know what he's doing? Praying. Tonight we have prayer. What time is it? 6:30. Tonight we have prayer. 6:30. What is Jesus doing? Praying. What should we be doing? Praying. Amen.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church on the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church on the Rock and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for You. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church on the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.